You're listening to the Bragman Breakdown Podcast. Here's your host, Jackson Bragman.
Episode 83, welcome in, Bragman Breakdown Podcast. I'm your host, Jackson Bragman, joined per usual by the one and only Gabe the Goose Efros. Gabriel, we're back. We're back.
That's right, we're back.
We haven't done a pod since our NBA season preview, and now we come to you. We're, what, a fifth of the way through the NBA season?
About, I'd say.
Two-ninths through the NBA season?
Maybe two-tenths.
That would be one-fifth, Gabriel.
Exactly.
Gabe, I thought you were in AP Calc BC last year.
It was an esoteric joke. You were, the joke was that you already said it. But nonetheless, we're back. We're back. The wheels are turning in his head. But as Jackson was going to get into, we are, our last podcast was early season NBA hot takes, maybe like late preseason hot takes.
No, it's just our preview, our NBA preview podcast.
I'm sure there were hot takes in there as per usual.
Yes.
But now this pod.
We have started the NBA season. We're a good chunk of the way through already. Doesn't feel like it, but mid to late November, we're chugging along here, and the NBA season has got off to a very surprising start. The top two teams in the Western Conference are two teams that many people expected to finish outside the top 10 in the West.
Not me.
Not Gabriel, though. Gabe, diehard Portland Trailblazers fan, is delighted to see his team atop the Western Conference and atop the NBA standings. And then over in the East, we have the ever-dominant Milwaukee Bucks in first place, who are going to be the team to be in the Eastern Conference this year. So a lot of fun stuff going on in the NBA right now. A lot of surprises, a lot of shocking results so far. And we're going to get into all of it. And we're going to give our five biggest hot takes. Each of us have five hot takes that we are going to deliver to you on today's podcast on the start of the NBA season. So, Gabriel, let's get into it. Do you want to go first or should I?
I can go first.
Why don't you?
Which one should I start off with? I don't know any of your hot takes.
Yeah,
I'll save my Portland Trailblazers one for the last, so I can talk at length about the Trailblazers. But to get into it, I think my hot take is that the Orlando Magic have the best young core in the league at this point.
So my first hot take is also about the Magic.
Mm.
It's similar. The Magic are a play-in team, in my opinion. So let's double up here. We'll go hot take for hot take here to start off the pod. I think the Magic are a playing team. You think they have the best young core in the NBA. I would tend to agree with you there. So why don't you, I didn't mean to steal your thunder. So you go first and then we'll have a little Orlando Magic discussion here.
I think
on the Bragman Breakdown, episode 83.
I think it hinges on the fact that I believe Paolo Banchero is Banchero. And it's the only time I've ever said Banchero in my whole life. I don't know why I said that, but
it is Banchero, isn't it?
Whatever. I don't know. I think it's like take your pick. But that's the only time I've ever said that in my life. I think he is a generational prospect and player. And I think that will help the Magic greatly in their development. Like before they got him, I would say they probably had a bit of a lackluster young core for how bad they've been. But with the addition of him, I think being a generational prospect and eventually generational player, it has elevated their young core into that number one status for me.
So to me, Paolo right now leading all rookies and I believe points, assists, rebounds, and steals. And it's just like, it looks, I mean, he's what, 20 years old, 19 years old, but he looks like an NBA veteran, the way that he plays the game, the way that he sees the floor. He's just such a high IQ player. He's not an elite facilitator per se, but his court vision is just reminiscent of guys like LeBron and guys who are just such smart, high IQ NBA basketball players, where I've been so impressed by Banchero watching him at Duke and watching him so far in his rookie season in the NBA. Would you say, is it fair to say, because I wrote this down, I think he's the best rookie that we've seen since Luka.
I think that's very fair. You look at guys that have played since Luka, Zion, last year, Evan Mobley, and I think Paolo's a tier above those guys at least.
I would tend to agree. And in addition to Paolo, who else do you like out of that young core in Orlando game?
Really like Franz Wagner. He's a very Swiss Army knife guy. He really does a lot of things well. He emulates, I think, like a prime Nick Batum type player who fills a lot of roles very well. And of course, Jalen Suggs, good defensive guard, who I don't think will ever be. I think his ceiling's number three on a championship team, which is pretty solid, but I don't think he'll ever be more than that. But those are the type of guys you need if you're going to have a championship team.
No, I absolutely agree. I don't think that Jalen Suggs is a superstar player, but he's a guy that, you know, we saw it in that Golden State game a couple of weeks ago, and you know, he totally just took over at the end of the game, had five steals and knocked down that clutch three to win the game for Orlando. And he can, if he can erupt for a game like that, you know, every playoff series, then that's going to be huge for Orlando. And defensively, so consistent, so solid. One of the, has turned into one of the better guards defensively in the NBA. Obviously a freakish athlete, played the cornerback position at a very high level. So he has outstanding footwork, and you know that that's going to make him a great defender at the NBA level. He's just a pit bull. Like, he truly, he's got that dog in him, Gabe. Cool. And I love Jalen Suggs. Bull Bull has looked really good. He's had a little coming out party in Orlando. And so he's taking steps forward. Franz is improving as well. And, you know, Cole Anthony's been out, and this team has still been really good. This team's 5-11 right now. They have eight clutch losses. So they have eight losses by 5 points or less. Eight of their 11 losses have been by 5 points or less. So when I see that stat and I see that they're only two games out of the play-in right now, I would be very surprised if this team does not end up as a top 10 seed in the Eastern Conference by the end of the season. So this is a mild hot take. This isn't a blistering hot take, but I think that the Magic are definitely a play-in team and could maybe even, you know, find themselves in the top eight of the Eastern Conference by the end of the regular season.
I think that's very true, especially the Eastern Conference at the bottom is a lot worse than the Western Conference. So I think that definitely could be true.
Yeah. When you look at the West, I don't even know who the second worst team in the West would be, because I think the Rockets are arguably the worst team in the NBA right now. But then it's like, I mean, some of the teams that you expected to be down there, OKC, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's playing out of his mind, Utah, Mike Conley and Lauri Markkanen and Jordan Clarkson are doing their thing. Portland is absolutely balling out, and a lot of those teams aren't there at the bottom of the West. So you might even say like the Lakers are the second worst team in the West. There's a lot more depth in the Western Conference than in the East, where you have teams like the Hornets and the Pistons that are not going to have very good seasons. And Orlando might be able to capitalize on that. Washington's another one.
It's irrelevant, but it's probably the Spurs, the second worst team in the West.
Yeah, you're right. I take it back. You're right. But they're off to a good start this season from a record standpoint. So we shall see. But Cole Anthony has been out as well. I think that's worth noting. And they've still been able to play some good basketball. Eight clutch losses, most in the NBA, and still have been able to pick up those five wins. So a lot of close games. That signature win over Golden State came earlier in the season. And I think that Orlando is going to have success by the end of the season. Gabe, what is your second NBA hot take?
My second NBA hot take revolves around the Golden State Warriors. I think this season will be their, you remember after the Lakers won their championship season, then they were in the play-in. I think this will be the Warriors, Warrior-adjacent season, where they have a bit of a down year. Things don't exactly go the way they think, and they lose early in the playoffs, and then this translates maybe into a bit of a downward spiral because Steph, 33, I think turning 34, Klay is around the same age. Draymond is bad, but he's also old. And then some of their young guys haven't played particularly well this year. Jordan Poole hasn't been too efficient scoring the ball. He's been pretty decent passing, but all around they've just been down this year. I think this could be maybe – this would be a weird way for the Warriors dynasty to end right after a championship, but I think – maybe this could be the beginning of the decrescendo of their dynasty.
Golden State 0-8 to start the season on the road. Not good away from home so far this year. Curry dropped 50 the other night and they still lost. This is a team that is lacking a lot of depth. Those young guys that we expected to really develop and come along this year and help out, you know, we expected to maybe see Draymond and Klay Thompson and even maybe even Curry take steps back this year and see guys like Kuminga and Wiseman and Moody step up and fill those roles. And those guys have not been playing high-level basketball this year. Jordan Poole has struggled to start the season as well, and that has not helped the Golden State Warriors so far. They are currently not in the play-in tournament and are really struggling. So I would tend to agree with you, and obviously the Draymond punch did not help matters at the start of the season. So, yeah, I am not so high on the Warriors like I was last season. They were my preseason pick to win the NBA championship last year. I was very high on them heading into last year. This year, I was a little bit more skeptical, seeing how Klay played in the playoffs, seeing how Draymond played for the majority of the playoffs. He had a couple of nice games in the finals to in games 5 and 6, but for the most part, some of their veterans were kind of tailing off a little bit, and I did not like to see that. And that made me a little bit cautious about the Warriors this season, and I think that that has proven to be part of their downfall. And Jordan Poole and those guys have not really stepped up to fill the void that the Warriors have been missing. So I would not be surprised if this is a play-in team by the end of the season.
The real reason is that they no longer have Otto Porter Jr.
Very true. Very true. Glue guy.
Yeah.
Gary Payton second. Gone as well.
True.
Gone as well.
Gary Payton II, I believe, making his Trailblazers debut against the Jazz tonight.
Very good. Yeah, we'll be watching that game for sure on NBA TV. Gabriel and I, we'll have a little Trailblazers viewing party. What was the game we watched? I watched the Blazers game with Gabe last week. That was quite an experience. Who'd they play against?
The Mavericks.
Yeah, that was fun. That was good to see you in your element watching Blazers basketball. But regardless, my second NBA hot take, Gabriel. The Cavs are legit contenders, I feel. Which I don't know if that's a blistering hot take either, but I think if someone said that at the start of the NBA season, and when I say legit, I mean legit, like not a fringe contender. I think that this is a top five team in the NBA and a team that can legitimately win the championship this year.
That's like it's like, you know, a hot take would be like, you know, like fresh hot coffee. This one's been left out for a little bit. I feel like I think everyone thought they were going to be contenders coming into the season. Myself included, and they have been. They've been very good.
Well, I don't think people thought they would be contenders. I thought that they would take a step. I think people thought that they would take a step forward, and that they would be a good team, and that would maybe be like competing for a spot in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I think this is a team that I could see holding up the NBA Championship trophy at the end of the season, the Larry O'Brien. And I think that when you look at how Mitchell has played so far this year, he has come in and he has totally revolutionized this Cleveland offense, because you have the Twin Towers offensively in Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, and you have those guys that are such dominant pieces defensively. You bring in Mitchell, who has totally stepped up his game defensively. The last two seasons in Utah, a lot of people have been very critical of his effort defensively. He has really stepped up this year and been a very solid perimeter defender. And when you look at him, Caris LeVert's been a pretty good wing defensively. And then you have Garland at the point guard spot. Offensively, you have that backcourt of Garland and Mitchell, possibly the best backcourt in the NBA, which perhaps will be discussed in one of my other hot takes coming up. Are they the best backcourt in the NBA? I personally have them second, but regardless, when you look at those two pieces, Garland last year was forced to be an ISO scorer a lot of the time when that role doesn't really fit him. This year, he has been able to be more of a pure point guard, has an assist to turnover ratio of 8 to 3.1 right now, which is insanely good. And because Mitchell has come in and provided the Cavs with over 30 points per game and has provided them with this extra burst of scoring, it has allowed Garland to establish himself as more of a pure point guard, and it has allowed his efficiency to go up as well as Mitchell's efficiency to go up, because he's playing with this elite point guard and he's playing with these elite big men down low, where the Cavaliers have just so many offensive options, and it's so easy to, when you have a pick and roll with Garland and Mobley, it's deadly, because if the big helps on Garland, then it's an easy dunk for Mobley. And if the big stays home on Mobley, then Garland's just so shifty that he can get to the rim at will, and he's just such a dynamic scorer that way, or he can kick it out for a corner three to Mitchell or LeVert. So, it's just such a dominant pick-and-roll duo, such an elite-level offense, and defensively, that front court is special as well. So I think that the Cavaliers are just a very, very special team. They don't have a top-five NBA player per se, which is the one reservation, but I think Mitchell has shown that he's been an elite presence in the playoffs before. And this Cavaliers team that is around Mitchell is a lot better than even that one seed Utah team that was around Mitchell a couple years ago in Utah. So that's what makes me optimistic about the fact that the Cavaliers could actually potentially win a championship this year.
Yeah, I very much agree. I saw a clip of Evan Mobley the other night guarding I don't remember who it was, but it was a guard or maybe a wing from 35 feet out, and he was doing an excellent job. And I think that really encapsulates his game perfectly. And it's what I thought he would bring in the NBA.
Gabe, what is your third hot take?
Third hot take is that I think Luka is the second best player in the league right behind Giannis. And I'm not going to say it's not close, but I think it is pretty clear at this point. He's averaging like...
I think it's quite loose.
That was a terrible joke.
Why is that a terrible joke?
Were you going for the pun there?
No.
Oh.
That wasn't even my intent. It's just a very lukewarm take.
I don't know. Well, I mean, you know, you could say Jokic.
It'd be a hot take if you said he's the best player in the NBA.
Well, I remember I originally said this, and I said Luka is the best player in the NBA, and then Jackson said, no.
Well, it is Giannis. So it would be a hot take if you said, look, because the consensus is that it's Giannis, and rightfully so. I think Giannis is the best player in the NBA because he is so dominant on both ends of the floor.
Okay, well,
you can't say about Luka.
I think maybe what I'll say then is Luka and Giannis are not like so far above every other player in the league, but I think they're both clearly in their own tier in terms of players in the NBA right now. And I think Luka, especially, he's just like the entire offense whenever the Mavericks play. He has the sole shot creation duty. He's the main scorer. Is he good on defense? Not really, but no one cares. He's their entire offense, and that's really, really hard to do. I don't think it's something that Giannis does. He has the ball almost all the time when they're in the half court. He's a great passer, and he actually has been pretty decent on the defensive end this year. He's averaging 2 steals a game, which is, you know, pretty much more than he has before. It's shows growth, and I think eventually, maybe by the end of the year, you'll be singing a different tune in terms of who you think the best player in the league is.
Yeah, and Luka's, what's interesting about him and how you said he's their whole offense, is he's rivaling some of those James Harden Houston stats from a usage rate standpoint, is he is literally carrying this offense on his back and has been handling the ball so frequently and has been playing so many minutes. And I just don't know if that's going to lead to winning basketball come playoff time when you don't have any, like, who's the second best player on this team? Christian Wood, maybe?
Christian Wood's been good this year.
He's been good, but regardless, I think it's very telling that I don't think this team gets out of the first round this year. I know that they made the conference finals last year, but they lost Brunson. I think that's a huge loss for them. Tim Hardaway Jr. has been brutal so far this season.
But you know who's been playing out of their mind?
Who's been playing out of their mind, Gabriel?
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Spencer Dinwiddie's been playing good.
I don't think he's been averaging like 45% or something crazy from three, I believe. I'm not entirely sure on that, but he's been shooting very efficiently. He's taken over a little bit of that playmaking duties from Luka when he's not on the floor, and from Jalen Brunson from last year, which is not expected. Spencer Dinwiddie, he's kind of gotten like almost worse as he's been in the league, kind of better, but not this year.
And Bragman breakdown favorite attribute that Spencer Dinwiddie possesses, and that is the Tween Hezzy splash.
That's true. Yeah.
He does possess the Tween Hezzy splash when he gets deep within his baggage.
He is a meaner.
He will bust it out once.
He is a meaner Tween Hezzy splash than Luka.
No, what?
Yeah, well, I mean, Luka, you know, Luka.
Luka does the kind of between the legs step.
Yeah, well, Luka is a top 2 player in the league, but he also moves in slow motion. He's slow, but he's big though.
He a big body for show for show. Okay, hot take number 3. Miami needs to blow it up.
I've thought this. Yeah, I didn't think they really had it for a while. They somehow got to the conference finals last year, but they just don't have enough guys. Max Strus is like their third best offensive player, and that's horrible.
11th in the Eastern Conference right now. This is the second oldest team in the NBA.
Oof,
they're 21st in points per game, 19th in three-point shooting. And here's the biggest problem, Gabe. They don't have a bucket getter offensively. Don't give me, oh, Jimmy Buckets, he's a bucket. No, not a bucket getter. Good player. Good basketball player. Not a hooper. Not a hooper.
True.
He's not a bucket getter. And today's league, you have to have a go-to bucket getter. You have to have a Luka Doncic. You have to have a Jason Tatum.
The interesting...
thrive in today's NBA.
I do agree with that. And the interesting, like the really interesting thing about Jimmy Butler is any bucket getting abilities he has, once you get like beyond the free throw line, they completely disappear from him. He can get like a turnaround from like in the like medium or low post. But as soon as you get even a little bit closer to the 3-point line, they just disappear. No, I don't know why. He just can't shoot it from three.
Yeah, you're correct. I agree. I think
it's because he refuses to put the time in the gym to shoot threes.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. Regardless, I think that the one untouchable piece, on the, I won't say untouchable, but the one piece that I would really like to keep on this team is Bam. Other than that, I would probably move on from Jimmy. I would see if you can get rid of the Duncan Robinson contract, which has been pretty disastrous so far for a guy that doesn't play defense. All he can do is shoot, and that's why he got a $20 million a year deal and all of a sudden can't shoot after he got that deal. So that's been pretty rough. Yeah, I just don't think that, 36-year-old Kyle Lowry and this Miami team, as it's currently constructed, is going to be able to win a championship. As you said, I was surprised they made the conference finals last year and that they were the one seed in the East. And I don't think they did anything to get better. I think they got worse as they've continued to age and grow older. And I just don't think that the Miami is going to bounce back at some point this year. They're 11th in the East. I don't expect them to finish 11th in the East unless they do blow it up. However, I don't think that this is a top six team in the East. I think this is probably a play-in team.
I'm glad you've finally seen the vision.
Gabe, noted Heat hater.
I don't need to hate anymore. They're bad. Finally, they're bad. The Suns, I'm telling you the Suns in a year, maybe 2 years' time, are just not going to be good. And then I'm finally, DeAndre Ayton, he's going to turn into like Ivica Zubac, and I'm going to be so happy.
Gabe, your fourth hot take.
I think the Jazz will not be a play-in team this year. I think, and that's not, I don't mean like they're going to fall to 11. I mean, they're going to stay in the top six all year, I think. This one is probably, I think, it's not too hot, but I think of all my takes, it has the least chance of happening. Just because, like, they don't have any guys that are really elite. But they have a ton of really good role players. They have Colin Sexton.
This team does not have any player that could be the first or second option on a championship team. You could even maybe say third option. Maybe. Is Lauri Markkanen really going to be the third best player on a championship team? Perhaps.
No,
perhaps.
No, I don't think he will. But he's playing good right now. And what? We're already...
He could be an all-star, though.
We're already, two nines, three-tenths of the way into the season. And he's been playing great. I think this Jazz team, they play hard, which is not a lot. You can't say that about a lot of teams in the NBA today. Mike Conley, dog. Colin Sexton, dog. Bucket getter. Colin Sexton is better at getting buckets than anyone in the Miami Heat. Something that I think is true. But they have a lot of guys. And
by the way, I didn't want to let you get away with this. You hate it. Struss is playing some good basketball right now. And Hero, is still.
Oh, I forgot. About, I forgot buckets. He existed.
Yeah, I mean, Hero's probably a better bucket getter than Colin Sexton.
Yeah, probably. But regardless, I think the Jazz, are they legit? Are they going to win a playoff series? Are they even going to win a playoff game? I don't know. But I think they're a good regular season team.
A lot of guys with chips on their shoulder. It's kind of like an island of misfit toys that has come
it's
together
like, it's like the,
and has thrived under pressure.
Here's a reference. It's like...
And Will Hardy, the Celtics assistant from last year, first-year head coach. He's done an outstanding job with this group. A lot of people very high on Will Hardy, very high on Danny Ainge for bringing Will Hardy in to the Jazz organization. And so far, it has panned out.
As I was saying, here's a cultural reference. You know Sid from Toy Story?
Yes.
This is that's the Jazz team, the toys that you would like.
I see.
Combine, like the hooker with the leg and the fishing pole. That's the Jazz.
Who was that?
That's Jordan Clarkson for sure.
Okay. Jordan Clarkson starting this year out of necessity, and he's killing it. My fourth hot take. I think Mike Brown right now should be the lead for NBA Coach of the Year. I think he has been absolutely outstanding. Sacramento currently 7th in the West. They're only 1.5 games out of first place. The Kings are leading the NBA in points per game so far, and he has totally turned the Sacramento offense around. Finally, Sacramento has moved away from letting their De'Aaron Fox isolate every possession, which is what they've done under Luke Walton and Alvin Gentry for the past few seasons. And now they're actually playing like Now they're playing team basketball as opposed to just going to Fox every possession. They're passing up good shots for great shots. Fox is having a career season because of it. He has career highs from the field, from three, and from the free throw line. He's shooting like 55% from the field. He's never shot above 48% before this season. And he has really thrived from an efficiency standpoint. He has looked really good. And it's because not all of the weight is on him to go and score, especially down the stretch now. We're not just seeing the offense break down and the Kings going five out and just letting Fox go to work from an ISO standpoint. We're actually seeing offensive sets run by this Sacramento team, and there's less pressure on Fox when you have guys like Sabonis and Harrison Barnes and Malik Monk, who's been really good this season, who are involved in the offense. And, you know, Keegan Murray's off to a good start as well in his rookie season. I like what Sacramento's doing so far this year, and I think that they owe a lot of their success to Mike Brown.
Jackson, are you a fan of the Beam?
I love the Beam. I think it's been a great addition. Sacktown. Hmm. What do you think of the Beam, Gabriel?
I'm beginning to find it annoying. I don't know. Maybe it's the hater in me, but I think it's annoying that everyone likes the Kings because of the stupid beam. It's dumb. Any team can light a beam. I don't even think it's their thing. I think the Lakers did it. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, it would be dope if they stole it from the Lakers. So
there you go.
Yeah. Gabriel. Maybe I'm just hating. Maybe I'm hating.
Your fifth and final hot take.
Okay, this one is one that I'm so confident I'll be right in. I just know it's right. I know it'll be right. And I think when it's all said and done, Shaedon Sharpe will be the second best, pretty easily, player from this draft, latest draft class. He's already playing
behind Paolo.
Yeah, and to be clear, I think Paolo is generational. So this means Shaedon Sharpe's going to be pretty, I think, pretty damn good. He's already playing well right now after not playing basketball since like high school and just not playing basketball for a year and a half. He's already playing very well. Two, he has crazy athleticism. Every single game he'll jump, whether it's for a lob or to go for a dunk, maybe a chase down block, he'll jump and he'll get his head like 6 inches above the rim. He's a crazy athlete. And three, he has insane body control. He had two plays against the Nets. There were two step back threes, and the space he creates just on like just handling the ball, like with his step backs and his ball moves, are just, it's crazy. And it's hard not to buy that level of shot creation, especially when he's only like 19 and he's in his first 15 games in the NBA. It's crazy to me. I think he's going to be really, really, really good.
Now, a discussion before the podcast, and I told Gabe only one Blazers related hot take. So there it is.
Yeah. And everyone must forget, even though this is the only people who know this is, I believe, Jackson. Everyone must forget my reaction to the Blazers drafting Shaedon Sharpe last June. I was not pleased, but I've declared him.
Number five. When healthy, we talked about Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland before, but when healthy, Ja Morant and Desmond Bane are the best backcourt in the NBA.
Right? Oh, I'm sleeping on that one.
Okay, so I stole this one from Bill Simmons. I'm going to be honest. He said this first. I'm sleeping on that. But I 100% agree. They're both going to be out for the next week or two.
Let's go. No, I'm kidding. That was a joke.
Ja's going to be out. He tweaked his ankle, I think, last night. So he's going to be week to week. And then Bane, as of about a week ago, was said to be ruled out for 2 or 3 weeks. So these guys are going to be out for a couple of weeks, but have been lighting up so far this season, averaging a combined 53.3 points per game. We know how special Ja is, but Dez has just gotten better and better every season of his career. His rookie season, Desmond Bane, kind of just a 3-and-D catch-and-shoot guy that looked like he would be a nice player off you for the bench. Remember, this is a guy that was the 30th overall pick out of TCU, the last pick of the first round by the Grizzlies a couple of seasons ago. And we thought, like, okay, this is definitely a steal for Memphis. This is going to be a guy that can come off the bench for you and produce. Then his sophomore season, started to develop his ball-handling skills and started to put some people on notice and was able to put the ball on the floor, create his own shot, and able to prove that he can be like a big, legitimate two guard that can actually create for himself. And then this season, in addition to that scoring ability, he has developed his playmaking skills. And the Grizzlies run a lot of lineups where Ja is off the floor and it's Bane and the second unit playing together. And in those instances, Bane is often served as Memphis's primary playmaker, and he's averaging 4.8 assists per game this year, which is up from just 2.7 last year. The guy's shooting over 45% from three on 8.5 attempts per game this season. He is lighting it up, and obviously we know how special Ja is. We know he's a top 10 player in the league, so when you put the two of those guys together, it's just been really special this season, and they're sitting at third place in the Western Conference, just half a game out of first place.
I'm sleeping on that. You want to take a guess why?
Why?
Look up in the standings. Mike Conley and Jordan Clarkson are so much better than Ja Morant and Desmond Bane. No, I'm kidding.
Who would you say is actually the best backcourt in the NBA?
I don't know, but I don't think it's that clear. I don't think it's that clear. And then there's certainly other backcourts that would take over the Grizzlies' backcourt.
Who?
I would take Garland and Mitchell over Ja Morant and Desmond Bane.
Okay. Would Young and DeJounte Murray? I don't think so.
I might. I think they're easily in that discussion. And I think they definitely have a case. I think Dame and Anthony.
Stop.
Why not? Tell me why.
Do you think I love Anthony Simons. Is he better than Desmond Bane?
Well, here's the thing.
And is Dame better than Ja right now? No.
Here's the thing.
If
it's the end of the season and Memphis, and if Memphis is looking up the Blazers and the standings, why is that not true? It's clear they're on a better team and they're the two best players on the team. How are they not better? Of course, it's only 15 games in the season. I don't think it quote unquote just started, but this is a hypothetical. If Memphis is looking up at the Blazers at the end of the season, and I don't think they're better than Garland Mitchell, I just said, and I don't know. Maybe there's something escaping my mind, but I just don't think Ja and Desmond Bane are the best backcourt in the league right now. I don't think Desmond Bane is better than Darius Garland or Donovan Mitchell. And I don't think Ja Morant is that much better than Darius Garland right now.
Wait, so who do you think is better?
Ja Morant.
No. Mitchell or Garland?
I think they're like almost equal. I mean,
I would actually take Garland right now.
Darius Garland's playing really, really well right now. And maybe that's, you know, clouding some people's visions, but they're both very, very close.
It is close.
But regardless, I think them put together is better than Ja Morant and Desmond Bane, especially because I think Desmond Bane, not yet. And I don't think maybe ever he will be able to.
He's a third year guy. He's averaging 25 points a game.
Is he actually?
Yeah,
maybe I need to watch
24.8.
I don't know. I just need to see it a little bit more. I think just a little bit more. I need to see the Grizzlies.
They're the high scoring backcourt in the NBA. 53.3 points per game. Yeah,
I need to see them not get clowned by the Warriors in the playoffs.
And are they the best duo? Not necessarily. Probably Tatum and Brown are the best duo, but that's not a backcourt.
True. I mean, I think Tatum and Brown, with the way the Celtics are playing, are probably pretty clear at number one right now.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I don't know, maybe Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic.
I'm worried about Jamal.
But
right
here's
now.
Here's the
he's
thing.
Not, he's not looked like he's fully healthy.
But here's the thing. Jamal Murray can be not that great, right? He can't even be like clearly worse than Bane or Ja Morant. But Nikola Jokic is a two-time MVP. It's like how are we looking at this? I think I'm looking at it a little bit differently.
Okay, so why can't you say that Giannis and Drew are the best duo?
Yeah,
or that
I think
Giannis
you,
and Middleton. Are the
I
best
think
duo?
You could. I think when healthy, I think Giannis and Middleton probably are the best duo. I really like Chris Middleton. I think he's really good.
Too inconsistent for me. But it's a different discussion for another time.
I think you did hit the nail on the head, though, which is something me and Jackson often don't see eye to eye on things, but I think you explained what I'm thinking really well.
In what sense?
In that you can just combine like the best player and someone who is, you know, not
right.
thought of. And then they're the best duo. That would make sense. that makes sense to me.
Early season NBA hot takes. Thank you guys for listening. We're going to get back to hopefully some weekly uploads, some interviews, perhaps. We have that partnership with Head Squash going on, so hopefully we have some exciting interviews lined up through that. We have some people in the entertainment world that are hopefully going to be coming on the podcast. Very exciting stuff. And we're going to have a lot of guests, whether that's interviews or whether that's guests like Gabe or guests who are...
My guest.
You're a co-host. You're a co-host. Guests who are experts on the NBA, college basketball, the NFL, who may come on, you know, professional wrestling, perhaps. We'll get Jeff Peck back on the podcast. I was hoping to do a last week to do a full gear predictions pod with him, but he was on vacation, unfortunately. So we're going to get him back on the podcast soon. And we're going to have some experts on as well to talk sports with us. And I am very optimistic about the future of the Bragman Breakdown. Stay tuned, folks. Thank you guys for listening. I'll see you guys next time. Hit up with a peace, Gabe.
Peace.
Peace.